on-deck business loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. Dwayne's World for on-deck business loans. Funding possible the same business day. It is Midday Madness time. You call, you get on. That's the Midday Madness promise. Midday Madness for work, locker, Karen Downs and Packet and workwear for wherever you work. If you're joining us for the first time, it's pretty simple. 1300 736 736 is the open line number. 1300 736 736. You call, you get on. Anything in the world of sport you'd like to discuss, we'll get you on. 1300 736 736 for the next 2 hours. That open line brought to us by Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia always make buying cars easy. And we're live here at the Crown Audio Hub again today. If you want to drop by and say hello, we're at the just near the Metropole Precinct. It's game on and it's happening at Crown. So drop by and say hello at the Crown Audio Hub here near Metropole. Keep your texts coming through as well on 0433 98 11 16. The all-new Tempur Pro. Tempur's most adaptive mattress ever is here. Tempur mattresses like no other. And I'll read out a heap of your texts. But, of course, it's Talkback Radio. I'd rather have a chat to you. 1-300-736-736. And Ahmed in Point Cook is already on the line. I'll read a heap of your texts out later. I had a caller, or quite a few callers yesterday, talking about lists and where I see Geelong compared to Hawthorn and their recruiting versus their development at both clubs. And who does it better when it comes to recruiting and whether development is the bigger issue than recruiting, whether you can develop your players into great players as opposed to just recruiting great players from the under-18 competition. I want to talk about that as well very shortly because did a bit of digging last night in terms of who I think does have the best list to attack the rest of 2024. Obviously, the question yesterday was based on out of Hawthorn and Geelong and who's done it better. The Cats, as I mentioned yesterday, the Cats have been a little lucky, but they've also been very, very good in that they are great recruiters and they do have a great culture at the club to be able to recruit some good players to it. But they did get two early local picks back from other clubs like Ollie Henry, who was picked, 16 or 17 at Collingwood, and Tanner Bruin also from the Giants, who was an early draft pick and wanted to go home. Ollie Henry wanted to go back to Geelong. Tanner Bruin wanted to go back to Geelong. So in that regard, they have been pretty well placed when it comes to players coming back to them as opposed to Hawthorn, where they haven't been able to get players back other than Jack Gunston, which has caused more of a selection dilemma for them than helped them. So your thoughts on the best list in the comp? Because it was interesting to hear Daniel Hoyne, the champion data guru, who's on Sports Day every night, weigh into it last night. To me, the best list in the comp, and I wouldn't mind your thoughts on this, I think the Giants do have the best list in the comp. They're top of the ladder now, but I think they've also got the best list in the comp. They don't want for anything. They've got a great midfield. They've got a star-packed forward line as well with Toby Green and Jesse Hogan down there, who are up there, I think, with Mackay and Curnow and Hawkins and Cameron as the best forward combo in the competition. Their midfield is stacked and their defence, they've arguably got the best key defender in the comp, Sam Taylor. So I think the Giants have got the best list. I think Melbourne's got the second best list. I think with Petty and Van Rooyen in form, when you think of their forward line with those two guys, if they're playing well, it's a different kettle of fish for Melbourne than when they don't have any forwards to kick to. When you add Pickett and Fritch fit, they've got a great midfield, and May and Lever in defence is arguably as good a defensive key defensive combo in the comp. So I've got Melbourne number two list-wise, just to answer that caller yesterday after having a look at it last night. Three, I think Brisbane still for me. Too good a list not to get it going at some stage this season. So Brisbane's the third best list in the comp for 2024 for me. And at four, I can't separate Sydney, Carlton, Port Adelaide, Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. And one of the callers yesterday asked who got the best out of the least on the weekend and was it Adam Uze given the Richmond win? Did he get the best out of the least last week? And I tend to agree with that performance by Richmond and what Adam Uze had to work with given that he didn't have Grimes and didn't have Martin. I reckon Collingwood, I think Craig McRae got the most out of the least last year. Collingwood's got a great list, but was it the best list last year? I can't separate Sydney, Carlton, Port Adelaide, Collingwood and the Bulldogs with the fourth best list in the comp this year. So your thoughts on that? And we'll take your calls. Mark on the Limestone Coast is also on the line. Dwayne, how was Rococo last night? Was it a good meal? Thanks for that. Obviously, seen in St Kilda last night. Thanks for the text. It was a great meal. I loved it there. Thank you. Ahmed in Point Cook, we'll start with you as we head to the calls for Midday Madness.
Good afternoon, Delano. I just want to talk about the gap around, like, what would happen in the next couple of years. Like, it will be interesting to see in the different states, like, to... You know, in a bid for the gather round, like, which state do you think we'll like to host? Brisbane, Melbourne, or other states?
Well, Adelaide's got it for 5 years, Ahmed, so I would sneak a suggestion that maybe Tassie's going to get it at some stage for a 2 or 3 or 4, maybe even a 5 year stint when they get the new stadium built. We've got Launceston, we'll have the new stadium, we'll also have the ability to maybe play a game or two in Devonport, where I've been before, and they've got a pretty good venue if you wanted to have a boutique 5,000 crowd. So I would suggest Tassie's not far away from being granted it if they end up getting their team and get their stadium built.
Yeah, I agree. Tasmania should be a good option. And I would say a MCG, because if they were to host it, like in a gather round, that would bring up to 40 or 50,000 crowds, do I know.
Yeah, I don't think it's just about crowd, though, Ahmed. I think it's more about what it does for the footy in that state. And that's the reason that you take gather round to a state. Oh, look, there'll be a number of states that want to put their hand up. We're almost getting a gather round with opening round with the games in New South Wales and Queensland. But they can't host a gather round in Queensland while the Gabba is being redeveloped, or they don't have a marquee ground like the Gabba. So Brisbane might be out for a little while once Adelaide's done with it, Ahmed, depending on what they do with the Gabba. But Sydney's certainly on the agenda. Sydney would love to have it.
Yeah, I reckon SCG or Sydney, yeah. I wouldn't mind Sydney too. Yeah, so as you said, Tassie, I wouldn't mind if Tassie pick up the gather round, because since the Tassie T won't start until 2028, Dwayne, it should be great for me.
Good to have you call, Ahmed. Thanks for jumping on. Mark of the Limestone Coast, you're early today, Mark. Welcome to you.
Oh, g'day, mate. Yeah, are you coming over?
I am. I'll be there tomorrow to do the show tomorrow.
Are you doing the Saints game?
I'm not. I did a last year Saints Collingwood, but I don't have that on my agenda this year. I've got 4 games I'm doing for Gather Round, but the Saints ain't one of them.
Oh, what a bummer. I'm going to wear my Dwayne shirt and sit underneath the media area there and yell and scream.
Well, you can still
scream.
Do it. Mate, you can still do it. Wave to the camera in your Dwayne'sville T-shirt. Mark, we'll find something for you if you do that.
Oh, just don't wonderful. Run all the ground. Mate, I want to bring something up that you spoke about last year, which has really stuck with me, actually. You said something along the lines when Tassie was coming in, that the more teams that join, the harder it is for fans to get success. You said if once we get up to 20 sides, it's going to be really, really hard to sell it. Like some people will go a whole lifetime without seeing a flag. And that kind of stuck with me being a St Kilda supporter. And I thought to myself, how do we create more success for the fans mainly? And then I've looked at the EPL, and they don't just have the Premier League, they have the FA Cup. And I thought to myself, what if we had 20 teams, bring in, say, for example, the Northern Territory, Alice Springs / Darwin team, and we had just around 19 rounds of football for our premiership, right? So from March through to, say, late August. Have 3 or 4 weeks off, and then have an AFL Cup, similar to an FA Cup, where it's a knockout of 32 sides. You have the 20 AFL teams, and you have the grand finalists from the SANFL, the VFL, the QAFL, etc. Goes down to a round of 16, then 8, then 4, then 2. That'd last 5 weeks. So all of the broadcasters are still going to get about the same amount of weeks in broadcasting. And then you've got 2 cups. And in the future, you might have a super team that wins the double. Could you imagine last year if Collingwood won the premiership and then in October they also won the AFL Cup? They'd be some sort of, you know, if you're a Collingwood supporter, you'd be over the moon. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I like it. It's going back to the future. We did have that once upon a time when there was prestige around the Escort Cup or the Wizard Cup, whatever you want to call it. But I don't think we'll ever get that prestige back. But in a perfect world, it would be nice to have 2 comps that were that important. A number of sports now have in-season tournaments. So the NBA does, the NBL has. where one of your in-season games ends up counting for the cup. So, like, imagine on the weekend, this weekend coming, imagine if Gather Round was the first round of an elimination cup. So, you know, Adelaide-Melbourne Thursday night, not just a game for 4 points. It's actually an elimination game. The winner goes on to play in the next round, and it's an elimination game. The loser's out. So you've got Adelaide-Melbourne, Brisbane-North. So you could still do it that, have an in-season tournament, which a number of teams have. But to cut a long story short, Mark, I'm with you on it would be nice in a perfect world. I just don't know how we create it. But that's for marketing gurus and people at AFL House. If they want to do that, I just think they'd rather have a longer season than a number of other games added that have a secondary cup added to it. Because I don't, they tried a few things like AFLX, didn't work. State of Origin hasn't worked anymore. Players don't really want to play it. And I don't think the clubs necessarily would plough all their good players into a secondary cup. But I'd like it. I'd like it, certainly. MJ in Perth, welcome to you, MJ. Thanks for holding for a while. Welcome.
G'day, Dwayne. Long time listener, first time caller.
Good to have you on.
Good to have a chat with you. Yeah, just got a couple of things to bring up. I just, obviously the Gather Round in Adelaide, I think it's a great thing the AFL's bringing in. It'd be really good to, I think Perth would be a really good host for it, you know, being really nice weather and a few good grounds that they could host it. So, yeah, hopefully it comes over west in the near future. Another suggestion I've got, obviously, like most people who listen to yourself, watch a lot of footy, and listen to the commentators and stuff that are on, the Sevens and the Foxes and your channel. I just think that it'd be really beneficial if they had potentially like an umpire or someone who's got a really thorough understanding of the rules to just be in a position like a special comment. I watch a lot of footy, and there's obviously a lot of decisions that are really kind of up for interpretation. I think the commentators are potentially comment on those decisions. They haven't really got an understanding themselves, and I think it just adds to confusion around the game. I think if they had potentially like some either a retired umpire who can basically nip any of those decisions in the butt. Would be definitely beneficial. It also helps educate the fans. I think it'd be a good incentive. It wouldn't have to be, every game. It'd probably only really just be like a Channel 7 on a Friday or Saturday night just to help educate the supporters. I think it'd be really beneficial.
Yeah, good call, MJ. I don't think it'll ever happen for a couple of reasons. One, they do it in the NFL and the NBA all the time. They have a referee or an official as part of the commentary team that they can go to clarify decisions. But they also have the ability to do it during timeouts. They get delays in the NBA. They have delays to check stuff. They go to the video review sometimes it takes minutes. Same in the NFL, you have long timeouts where you can actually get an official in to clarify something, to look back. The AFL is a quick-moving sport to the point that, I don't know what it's like in commentary, something else has happened within 30 seconds of the last thing that was controversial. I mean, there's a controversial decision, non-decision, then there's another one, then there's another one, and then there's another one, and all of a sudden you've had four or five, and play continues, and then you've got a goal. Now, do you want to talk about the freak goal, or do you want to talk about the three non-decisions or decisions that happened in the lead-up to that goal? You can get bogged down in the refereeing and the umpiring and the adjudication stuff, and if you add an umpire to your commentary, then you're almost defaulting to critique the umpires more than we currently do, by saying, oh, what about that holding the ball decision that led to that goal? So on Fox, we're all about celebrating the goal, talking about the goal, and not necessarily spending too much time dissecting the holding the ball decision that wasn't paid that ended up allowing the goal. Other broadcasters might end up doing what you're suggesting, but until we get timeouts, until we get a delay to actually do it, I don't think it'll ever happen. But I appreciate your call on it. Our game just moves a lot faster than the NFL and the NBA. I don't think it'll come, certainly at Fox, in my time. Michael in Preston, welcome to you, Michael.
Yes, Dwayne. Look, I just wanted to touch, not so much on Ginnivan's high tackle, but about other stuff that is a similar version. So you've got players continually leading into a pack with their head. Now, I thought that they're worse than what Ginnivan does, because they know to do that, they're going to get a high tackle. So, an example was, I think, the Geelong Hawthorn game in the first quarter, one of the Cats players right in the goal square, let in with his head. There's nothing the player standing there could do, and yet he gets a free kick.
So the out, Michael, is to pay, not pay the free. So the umpire has to not pay the free. I appreciate your call. That the if I'm picking the ball up, if I have to bend down and pick the ball up, I have to bend down. I have to put my head down for starters. And if I'm picking the ball up and you are between me and the goal and there's space everywhere else, there's no obligation for me to actually veer towards the space when I put my head up and start running. I can veer towards you if I want to. If you're between the goal and me, why wouldn't I, if I'm Dustin Martin, veer towards you and try and push you away? Rather than veer towards space, you want me to go towards the space. I want to go towards the goal. So you can't stop players from actually bending down, picking up the ball and going in the direction that they want to, even if it's congested with bodies from the opposition. It's your right as the guy picking the ball up to go in any direction that you deem that you want to go. What the umpires have to do is not pay the free kick. If you're standing there stationary and I run into you, just don't pay the free. Pay play on. So that's the grey area of the game that we've got right now, Ginnivan. I'll play you a heap of what's been said about Jack Ginnivan, including the Laura Kane stuff, very shortly. 1-300-736-736 is the number if you'd like to join us. A couple of texts that have come through. The NBA in-season tournament would be awesome for the AFL. I think it would work very well. Thanks for that, Mark, sparking that debate. But another one here, Dwayne, where is it? That we don't really need to be changing what we've got right now. And I get that as well. Why do you want to change the game that we've got now? Because it's pretty damn good. AFL, best sport in the country. Why do people want to change it? Leave it alone. That's from Zook. Dwayne, Pies supporter. I think we have a great 22, but the depth isn't amazing. No players bashing the door down to come in. And you're right. I think that's exactly where I'm at with Collingwood as well. I think they've got, well, equal fourth best list in the competition. I don't think they've got the best list in the competition, but I didn't think that last year. I thought Brisbane had the best list in the competition. 2028 gather round in Tasmania with the Devils, Hobart, Launceston, Devonport and Burnie. Thanks for that, Dean. I didn't realise Burnie had a ground that might be AFL worthy. Thank you. Dwayne, the Tassie Stadium thing very much in limbo with the current hung parliament. Yeah, I'm not as doubtful on it as you, David. I think it's going to happen and I think they'll sort their garbage out down there. Baz in Coburg, you there, Baz?
Dwayne, just in reference to your last caller, I think the incident he was talking about was Brad Close picked up the ball, he had his head down, picked it up and dived forward. The Hawthorn backman just stood his ground. So he's dived into the Hawthorn backman, got the free kick for it. So I think that's what he was referring to, that incident.
Appreciate your call, Baz. Theo in Forest Hill, you got a thought on Ginnivan? What can you, Theo?
So my thought is, like, everyone's giving him a lot of kind of stick for the way he sort of acts when he gets the ball. Yet we act like Charles Howard's a champion of the game, but he did the exact same thing. So I just want to get your thoughts on how we regard one of them as a champion of the game and how he's amazing, which he is a champion, but the fact that he made a career out of doing that. And yet when Ginnivan does it, we all act like he's not kind of within the rules and... No, I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, here's Laura Kane clarifying that there's not two sets of rules, one for Ginnivan and one not. Laura Kane pretty much put the blame on both the umpires for getting a few wrong and for Ginnivan for still lifting his arm, which I didn't like. But here's Laura Kane blaming the umpires and Ginnivan.
And it's fair to say that a couple of those probably weren't officiated correctly and we missed a few. But we've spoken to Hawthorn and reiterated, as we did in 2022 to all clubs, that we don't want players to lead with their head. And importantly, what players do when being tackled or receiving contact, such as putting their arms in the air or an arm in the air without the ball, can make it really difficult to adjudicate. So what I want to be really clear on is that we don't have a different set of rules for a player. We don't have a different set of rules for a club or a team, and we officiate our games all the same way.
Theo, so Laura Kane saying that he deserved a couple, but threw in the old, we don't want players leading with the head. So obviously she thinks, you can put two and two together here and get four, I reckon, she thinks Ginnivan leads with his head.
Yeah, I mean, she can say that there's no two sets of rules, but I've seen plenty of players around the comp do it, and like every so often, and whenever he does it, or like even when it was a marking contest and he got nearly almost punched in the back of the head, they didn't call out. So I'm sort of like, she can say there's not two sets of rules, but I feel like to me, from even at Collingwood, there was a few games where he wouldn't get a free. I feel like potentially there is. Like, she can say there's not, and it's hard to sort of judge whether he's doing it or not. So I do get her point of view. However, until they start paying a bit more free kicks to him, I can't sort of take her word for it, I think.
Yeah, you've got to pay the ones he deserves. Otherwise, it does feel like there's two sets of rules, one for Ginnivan, one not. John and Mill Partner Company straight after the break. Great to have your company. Dwayne's Wood for On Deck Business Loans. Funding possible the same business day. It's Midday Madness. You call, you get on.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Straight back to your calls. Got a full ball, but we'll get to you all. That is the Midday Madness promise. So James in Oak Park, Dennis in South Melbourne, Dave in Box Hill, Pete in Montmorency, Michael in Greenvale, Peter in Airport West, John in Mill Park. We will get to you all. And we'll start with you, Peter, in Airport West. You want to talk about the descent rule. Welcome to you, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. Look, Dwayne, have they relaxed the descent rule? Because there is one team that is playing, and every player seems to throw his arms out and looks at the umpire. Then when the decision goes against him, looks up at the screen and points at the screen. I thought that was a 50-metre thing. I think they've learned it from their coach, because their coach is always throwing his arms out. And have they relaxed it or something?
No, I think they must have scrapped it without telling us, Pete. It was one of these rules of the month that lasted 2 months last year. Then they watered it down. Then they scrapped it without telling us. Peter, I'm with you. And it's bizarre how these things happen sometimes. All of a sudden, we have this rule that they crack down and go crazy with. And then they decide, well, that was a bit stupid. We'll just go back to the way it was before we even talked about it initially. Hold the line. Got something for you. 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart down at Club Mandalay. Get 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99. Visit clubmandalay.com.au. Michael in Greenvale. Welcome to you, Michael.
Oh, good day, Dwayne. How are you?
Good.
That's good. I've got a bit of a long-term Essendon support, a bit of a bittersweet thing I just wanted to talk about. I rang up last year talking about Massimo D'Ambrosio. I was very, very upset that Essendon didn't offer him a contract, but very happy for him, the way he's playing and the way he's being respected and welcomed there at Hawthorn. I just wish him all the best. And I think that we've certainly missed out on a 20-year-old that's got probably 100, 150 good games ahead of him.
Great call, Michael. He's been great. I mean, of all the Hawthorn players this year, he's almost the best they've had in their first three games. So, great call, Michael. He's been a fantastic addition. And when they get their recruiting right, the Hawks, I said they got a few things wrong yesterday. Well, let's congratulate them for getting that one right. Spot on with that one. Peter in Montmorency there, Peter?
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, mate. I'm just flabbergasted that there's a continual talk about, you know, Ginnivan. Lee Matthews said it 2 years ago, tackle him properly, he's allowed to bend his knees. Where does it say he's not allowed to try and avoid capture?
Well,
halfway
through last year, they said it, Peter. They changed the rule because of Ginnivan.
Well, it just still doesn't matter. They can still tackle him properly. They're tackling him too high. He's trying to avoid him. He's leaning away. Their hand goes down to his neck. I mean, I'm not a Ginnivan fan. I'm barracked for Collingwood. He left us and he's gone to Hawthorn. Good luck to him. But I just don't understand it. Tackling him properly, you'll probably get him for holding the ball.
Yeah, you're right. It's just that they changed the rules. So if you drop at the knees, you don't get a head-high tackle. You're deemed to be the one that contributed to it. They changed the rule. And maybe they shouldn't have, because it's just caused more confusion than ever before. I mean, changing rules halfway through a season is bizarre anyway. But to change it off the back of one guy, the way he's playing, and I know they put up a couple of other video excerpts of, these guys are doing this, but we all know it was partly due to the Ginnivan situation. And they just made a bigger grey area out of a grey area. Thanks for your call, Peter. Appreciate your call. I mean, the Ginnivan, they did. You can't drop at your knees now, bizarrely enough. And ducking is different to dropping at your knees. Can you believe that? Ray Chamberlain explained that last year. And it still confused things, because essentially they're the same thing. It's dropping the height of your head, isn't it? John in Mill Park, Dave in Box Hill, Dennis in South Melbourne, James in Oak Park. We'll come to you straight after the break for more Midday Madness. A lot of texts coming through about Joel Selwood again, so I'll read them again as I did yesterday. One here, so they changed the rule after Selwood's career was over, and then you've thrown another word in there that I won't read that out. But look, that's the bizarre part about it. That's the way it feels. It feels like, and it's probably not this, but it does feel like, well, we couldn't change a rule based on a 300-gamer, superstar, icon of the sport, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, towards the end of his career. We couldn't change the rule and make it seem like the Selwood rule, because that would be detrimental maybe to the overall greatness of the man, if all of a sudden that was the thing that we remembered Selwood for. But once Selwood retired, oh, well, we can change it now. But you do feel like it's based partly on the way Selwood played, not just on the way Ginnivan played. But poor old Jack Ginnivan's carrying the can now. And obviously, Joel Selwood doesn't have to because he's not playing anymore. Pipe fans only care about a premiership. I think the majority of Saints supporters would not be content with winning the AFL Cup, even if Mark would see it as a success. Matt, thanks for your text on that. Dwayne, gather round, can't move from Adelaide now. It's a tradition, just like the grand final at the MCG. Adelaide should be locking it in for a 50-year contract. Peter in Happy Valley, no, I think they can move it, and I think they will move it. Dwayne, a qualified apology is not an apology, and that's the way I probably read it as well. It's an apology to Jack Ginnivan for not giving him the free kicks that he deserved from Laura Kane, but they still had to bring up the fact that they reckon, by the sounds of things, that he's actually leading with his head. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you actually put out an apology about the clarification of him not getting the free kicks that he deserved on the weekend and then throw in the leading with the head thing again for Ginnivan? It's bizarre to me, but it's just added more fuel to this fire, Laura Kane's explanation. Chris in Montana, welcome to you. Chris, you want to talk about Melbourne's forward line off the back of the list discussion we had yesterday and I mentioned earlier today?
Yeah, sure, Dwayne. A few weeks ago, I said to you we were missing Ben Brown, and you sort of doubted it a bit.
I did.
Over the last 3 weeks since he's been back at Melbourne have really kicked on.
You're spot on, Chris. I didn't think he was ready to come back. I got the information that he wasn't going to be brought back this year, but he's been fantastic, so you're 100% right on that, and I was wrong.
No, and with Chole Hunt, Duano, just about him kicking Maisie, and then last week he kicked Stewart at Geelong. He hit him in the head, leading with his knee when he goes for a mark. That should be banned because that's very dangerous, mate.
No, you're allowed to go for the ball in a marking contest in that manner. So yeah, there's a number of strange anomalies to rules, but you are allowed to still fly for a mark if your intention is 100% on the ball and accidentally get a guy in the head with your knee. That's allowed, and it will always be allowed because that is football. Again, there's a few people that think they'll change that rule, but it's a bit like boxing saying, oh, no, we're not going to allow punches to the head anymore. Well, then it's not boxing then. Malcolm in Adelaide, Rob in Mornington, Dave in Box Hill, Dennis in South Melbourne, John in Mill Park. We'll get to you next. It's Midday Matters.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Apply in just minutes. Approval in as quickly as 2 hours. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have your company. We're up to April 3 in our first knob file of the year. So keep your texts coming through. Really appreciate your text, 0433 98 11 16. Some people don't get it on the text. I think Gaz has put a few in already this year. It's nice to be able to get to April without having to put too many in. So thanks to all of you who send your text through. 0433 98 11 16 is the text number for the all-new Tempur Pro. Tempur's most adaptive mattress ever is here. Tempur, T-E-M-P-U, our mattresses like no other. Midday Madness, you call, you get on. And we've got a full board at the moment. James in Oak Park, Dave in Box Hill, Rob in Mornington, Steve in Milton, Malcolm in Adelaide, and John in Mill Park. John, you've been holding the longest, so welcome to you, John. Great to have you.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be very quick because you've got other callers on the phone. I'm not going to critique the umpires, and I do want to bring up one other positive point about Richmond, but I'm going to actually lay the blame here wholly and solely on the AFL and the rules committee. They constantly change rules, and as you brought up, mid-season, I've listened to you twice. One was dissent, the other one was about Ginnivan dropping his knees. There is no other competition in the world that does this, changes rules mid-stream. No wonder umpires cannot umpire a game consistently, because the interpretation is totally different. They've got to just leave the game alone for a period of 5 years, is my opinion. Don't touch it. Leave it. Let the umpires learn the rules. Let them have a similar interpretation, which you get consistency in adjudicating free kicks. This way, there will never be. And it does seem to be favouritism. And on a lighter note, I hope the young kid does debut on Sunday. Kane McAuliffe, this kid could be a diamond, and his form in the reserves has been outstanding. And another, it could be a very, very, very decent pick from Lee Hartley and his team. Looking forward to seeing him debut.
Good on you, John. Thanks for your call. Yeah, it's not just rule changes. It's interpretation creep, if you like. So let me throw this at you on the text. We might even put a Twitter poll up. Players are getting more time with the ball this year, and there's less holding the balls paid, I think. The umpires have just obviously been told to call play on. So there's throws and balls being dropped in tackles and more prior opportunity, and the umpires are just letting it go. Ball comes out, let it go. Don't pay the free. It seems like there's a real interpretation creep at the moment to me on giving the player extra time this year. Have you noticed that? Am I seeing something that's not there? Because it's not just the rule changes that happen and they actually verbalise the rule change and tell us. And it's not just end-of-season rule changes or mid-season rule changes which they tell us about. It's the changes they don't tell us about. There's a real interpretation creep with players getting more time. Have you seen it? Please send through a text. Yes or no? Have you seen players get more time with the ball? And are they less holding the balls being paid than ever before this season? Because it's bizarre how that's crept into me. Thanks, John. David in Frankston. Welcome to you, David.
Dwayne, look, it's not a cut and dry thing, but it's just an impression I get. For example, with Joel Selwood, when he tried to avoid the tackle, he never stopped. He kept fighting on to play on. He never stopped. And it looks like some of the other players, as soon as an arm touches their shoulder, they stop cold like, oh, my kick. I know that's an oversimplification, but it might in some way explain, you know, if you like, the Ginnivan rule. Not that he does that all the time, but it's just the impression I get when I watch the game.
Yeah, David, I think that we saw Joel Selwood do this all the time and other players. You get tackled, you shrug, you move, you lift your arms, you try and shake it high. So that's what does happen. You fight through it. That's a natural thing. But they've only changed it since Ginnivan started doing it. James in Oak Park, I'll come to you in a second. Malcolm in Adelaide, you got a thought on the difference between Ginnivan and Selwood. What can you, Malcolm?
Yeah, Dwayne, you flummoxed me. I thought you knew more about footy, I've got to be honest. Completely,
yep.
Totally different in terms of Dwayne. Joel Selwood was the best player in the competition at going low and hard to the contest. Exactly how you coach the kid. He then came up. Ginnivan lowers himself looking for the contact. Totally, completely different. It's like comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, those two instances are different, Malcolm, but where they're exactly the same is that they're both arm lifters. Tackle hits the shoulder, lift an arm. They are both exactly the same on that. And that's where the rules hurt in Ginnivan and didn't hurt Selwood, Malcolm. They've changed that rule. If you shrug the tackle high now, it's a free kick. That wasn't a free kick when Selwood was doing it. So they are exactly the same. I agree with you on the difference between going low and hard, 100%. But they are both arm lifters. Ginnivan's being penalised for the arm lift. Selwood didn't.
Totally different, Dwayne. I'm sorry. I can't see how you can't say that.
You don't think Selwood was an arm lifter? You don't think...
He came up and then gave the ball off. Not looking for the head-high contact like Ginnivan does. He came up, he handballed. Ginnivan's not trying to handball at all. He's completely looking for the contact every time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You can't see what I'm saying, Malcolm. We'll agree to disagree on it. Fair enough. You think I'm a dill. I think they do attack the ball differently. I agree with you on that, but I think they are both arm lifters. Please hear me on that. Tackle hits the shoulder, lift the arm to shrug it high. Selwood did it. Ginnivan's doing it. If you can't see that, then we might as well just agree to disagree and move on to Rob in Tarnay. What can you do, Rob?
Oh, hi, Dwayne. Just on that, you know how the rule changed. I think they changed it towards the end of Selwood's career. They started not paying it as much, in his last year or year and a half. But I feel, Ginnivan's been a bit hard done by, but I think umpires don't pay free kicks to certain players because they sort of play for the free kick, if you know what I mean.
Mm,
the free kick's there, it's there, you know, it's there.
Yeah, if you're a full forward and you take a dive every time someone touches your back, they tend to not pay that as well because you're putting too much mayo on it. I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, that's it, really.
Good to have you call. Rob, hold along. Got something for you when you come down to the footy next. You've got a Pink Lemonade voucher for you, a round of Grey Goose Vodka to share with some friends down at Pink Lemonade, Swan Street, Richmond, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. Hold the line. We'll get that to you when you come down to Melbourne next. Still a full board, so I want to get to you all. James, Jason, Paul, Steve, Rob, we'll get to you all. Dave, we'll get to you all, even if it's across the 1 o'clock news, of course. Keep your text coming as well on 0433 98 11 16. You with Dwayne's World.
On Deck Business Loans for up to $250,000. Funding possible the same business day. Go to ondeck.com.au today.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Quite a few texts coming through on whether you've seen what I've seen with this creep of the rule of prior opportunity. Are they allowing the ball getter more leniency than ever this year when it comes to throwing it out, dropping it out? I'll play on. No holding the ball decisions, giving them more time. One here, yes, I agree. The umpires at AFL level are giving too much latitude with the disposal of the ball, and it's a blight on the game. We've got a Twitter poll up at the moment on X, so you can actually vote. Yes or no, has there been a slow creep in this? They didn't tell us there was a rule change. They didn't put it in writing that there's a rule change, but it seems like there has been an interpretation change on how long and how much leniency players with the ball are getting. Twitter poll, yes, yes, yes. Thanks for that. Another one here. I think Malcolm is one of the supporters so rusted on they can't see fault within their own ranks. Silwood was a champion and creative player around the ground, but so often lifted his arms to draw the high contact free kick. Thank you for that. That kind of sums up what I was trying to say as well. Dwayne, what annoys me is the people that grab the ball and lean towards the tackle and then go limp. That annoys me too, and Ginnivan does that, so he's got to get that out of his game. That's why I think Sam Mitchell and Laura Kane have both seen fit to say this is a fault on both sides of this equation. The umpires are at fault, but Ginnivan has to stop that leaning towards the tackler and going limp scenario as well. Ben in Torquay, welcome to you, Ben. You've jumped on about being a tackler. Welcome to you.
How are you, Dwayne?
Good.
I believe that if you're making a tackle on me, the onus should be on you to make a correct tackle. So if I can force you to make a mistake, why shouldn't I get a free kick? Just the same as if I've got the footy, the onus should be on me to get rid of it correctly. So I believe that people that are getting tackled and are spilling out in the tackle, they should be getting rewarded for that. Don't you believe?
Well, I would say if it spills out in the tackle, or it's dropped the ball, if you've had prior, it's got to be holding the ball, Ben, not just play on.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. But I feel like this season there's been a lot more of the footy spilling out in tackles from great tackles and not being rewarded.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Ben. Why didn't they tell us that they were going to do this, the umpires? Why didn't the AFL tell us we're telling the umpires to give the ball goer more time and we're having more leniency when there's been balls dropped in the tackle, balls knocked clear in the tackle? We're just going to call play on from now on and not pay as many holding the balls because we want more flow of the ball in the game. I mean, let us know. We're big boys and girls. We can accept that interpretation, alteration, if you want, but don't just slow creep it on us. James, Terry, Jason, we'll get to you after the break. We need a little break for news. Dwayne, you're correct about holding the ball disappearing, but if you're a well-known player at a big club, you can be tackled 100% correctly, attempting to break the tackle. Dennis and Coolaroo, so it's selective rule creep, thank you. And Dwayne, yes, there's absolutely creep because we're not officially told it's happening. If we're not officially told it's happening, we can't criticise umpires. Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Thanks for that. And Glenn from Cairns, yes, more free-flowing footy we've seen this year. Thanks for that. Back to your calls for more Midday Madness after the break. You call, you get on. And we'll get you all to wear, even though the lines are full. Dwayne's World live at the Crown Audio Hub at Metropole in the Metropole Precinct. It's game on, and it's happening at Crown.